The publishing industry has become so enamoured by the next big author. And what's happening to the more established but not so prominent career novelists? That's in Open Book at 4 o'clock here on BBC Radio 4. But first, we go back to 1930s Germany for our classic serial. The first book in the Out of the Hitler Time trilogy by Judith Carr.
When Hitler Stole Pink Rabbit by Judith Carr, dramatised by B.T. Rubens.
I was 9 years old in 1933. There had been heavy snow in Berlin all that winter, and I remember walking home from school with a girl in my class called Elspeth.
Look, Anna, it's another picture of him. He's just like Charlie Chaplin.
He's not like Charlie Chaplin at all, except the moustache.
Adolf Hitler wants everybody to vote for him in the election, and then he's going to stop the Jews. Do you think he's going to stop Rachel Löwenstein?
Nobody can stop Rachel Löwenstein. She's form captain. Perhaps he'll stop me. I'm Jewish too.
But you don't go to church on Saturdays.
That's because we're not religious.
Aren't you supposed to have bent noses? Has your brother got a bent nose?
The only person in our house with a bent nose is Heimpy, and she broke it falling off a tram.
I think it's silly about Adolf Hitler and people being Jews and everything.
Oh. Dreadful times, Herr Müller. Simply dreadful.
1931 was bad enough, and 1932 was terrible.
Oh.
But 1933 will be worst of all. You mark my words, Fräulein Lambeck. What can I get you, my dear?
A small box of colouring pencils, please.
It's Anna! How are you, little Anna? And how is your dear father? Such a wonderful man. I've got all his books, and I go to all the plays he recommends, and I always listen to him on the wireless. But look, why hasn't he written anything in the paper this week?
He's got flu, Fräulein Lander.
Oh, the poor, poor man. Mind you send him my best wishes for a speedy recovery, little Anna.
I will. Bye.
Don't forget your pencils.
Anna, is it nice having a famous father?
Not when you have to talk to busybodies like Fräulein Lambeck. It's nice sometimes. Papa works at home, so we see quite a lot of him.
I wish my father was famous.
One snag about having a famous father is that you never become famous yourself.
Why not?
I don't know. You just never hear of two famous people in the same family. And it's not just that. Do you remember that book he gave me for my birthday, They Grew to be Great?
Yes.
As far as I can see, if you want to become a famous grown-up, you have to have a difficult childhood. Here you are.
Ah, what is it, Anna?
Can I just quickly read you my poem? Oh, and Papa, I met Fräulein Lambeck and she asked...
For goodness sake, not now. We're talking.
But she asked...
You can see Papa's got the flu.
No, it's all right. What's your poem about, Anna?
It's about a shipwreck. Do you think that's a good subject, Papa?
Mm.
At school, Fräulein Schmidt says I should write about more cheerful things, like flowers and the spring.
Well, do you want to write about flowers and the spring?
No. Right now, all I want to do is disasters.
Well, perhaps you're in tune with the times.
Run along now, Anna.
Mama's right, Anna. Go and find Max. Hello. Yes, speaking. Who is this, please?
Mama, where's Papa? Papa's not in his room. Where is he? Was it his flu?
It's all right, Anna. Calm down. Come and sit on the sofa. You too, Max.
What's going on?
Papa's just gone on a journey.
But he's ill. He had a temperature.
He decided to go just the same. I was going to tell you when you got home from school.
Are we going to miss school now? I've got a geography test first lesson.
It's quite simple, really.
Papa thinks Hitler and the Nazis might win the elections. If that happens, he wouldn't want to live in Germany, and nor would any of us.
Because we're Jews?
Not only because we're Jews. Papa says no one will be able to say what they think anymore. He won't be able to write or broadcast because the Nazis don't like people who disagree with them. It may never happen, and if it does, it probably won't last long. Maybe 6 months. We just don't know.
Why did Papa leave so suddenly?
Well, someone rang him up yesterday and warned him that they might be going to take away his passport. So I packed him a small suitcase and Uncle Julius went with him and he caught the night train.
Well, when will he come back?
Well, it's only 10 days till the elections. The Nazis lose, in which case Papa comes back, or they win, in which case we join him.
What? Leave Berlin? Where would we go?
Switzerland, probably. So Papa can write for their German papers.
Who'll look after us? Will Heimpy come too?
Heimpy too. But there's one more thing. Papa doesn't want anyone to know that he's left Germany.
But...
So if someone asks, just say that he's still in bed with flu.
People are always asking about him. It won't be easy.
Why doesn't Papa want anyone to know?
Papa thinks the Nazis might cause us some trouble if they knew he'd gone. Oh, you can do it. I know you can. Now, off you go. Time for school. Come on.
Mama, we had a great time sledging. The snow was all fresh in the Grunewald and the moon was full.
We went right across the lake.
You must come with tomorrow. Uncle Julius!
Hello, children. Your father asked me to tell you that he misses you and sends you lots of love.
Uncle Julius says Papa's fine. And he wants us to meet him in Zurich on Sunday.
Sunday? But that's the day of the election. I thought we were going to wait and see who won.
Your father has decided he'd rather not wait. As I've just been telling your dear mama, I think he's taking all this a bit too seriously.
Why? What's he worried about?
Ever since Papa heard they wanted to take away his passport, he's been worried that they might take away ours. Then we wouldn't be able to leave Germany.
But if the Nazis don't like us, wouldn't they be glad to get rid of us?
Precisely, Max. My dear, your husband is a wonderful man, but frankly, in this matter, I think he's off his head. Well, never mind. You'll have a lovely holiday in Switzerland, and when you come back again, we'll all go to the zoo together. Let me know if I can help with the arrangements. Mm. Yeah, but don't go packing too many things. You'll be back in a couple of weeks' time.
Are we really leaving on Sunday?
Saturday. It's a long way to Switzerland by train.
Goodbye, sitting room.
Goodbye, sofa.
Goodbye, red rug. Goodbye, rocking chair.
Goodbye, train set. Goodbye, games compendium. That means goodbye, draughts and chess and Ludo and snakes and ladders.
Max, should I bring Pink Rabbit instead of my new woolly dog?
You've only just got the dog. And you can play with Pink Rabbit when you get back. I'm definitely taking my football.
The taxi's here. Yeah, hi, P. Don't forget the men are coming for the piano on Monday.
I'll be here.
Make sure they're careful with it, won't you? Right, come on, children. Time to go.
How much longer? Are we nearly there yet?
Stop asking questions. Why can't you just shut up?
Shut up yourself. I wish I had a sister.
I wish I didn't.
For goodness sake, both of you be quiet. Anna, wipe your nose. It's really not too long now. But before we arrive, we have to cross the frontier.
Do we get off the train again?
No, we just stay here in the compartment. And a man will come and look at our passports. But listen, this is extremely important. When the man comes, I don't want either of you to say anything. Do you understand? Not a word.
Why not?
Because otherwise the man will say, "What a horrible, talkative little girl. I think I'll take away her passport."
That's enough, Max.
Mama, he wouldn't really.
No. But Papa's name is so well known. We don't want to draw attention to ourselves. So remember, not a single solitary word.
Customs, anything to declare?
No, nothing.
How many suitcases? These three on the rack. There we go. Pleasant journey.
There, you see?
Anna, this is the passport officer. We are still in Germany.
In Germany indeed, madam. Passports, please.
Yes.
Let me see. You're travelling from Berlin to Zurich?
Yes.
And these are your children?
Yes, they are.
And their father? You're going to join him in Switzerland?
That's correct.
Well, these appear to be in order at present.
There. We're through. We're in Switzerland now. We'll see Papa soon. Anna, you're looking very hot. Oh, I hope you're not getting a fever.
I'm fine, Mama. It's just a cold.
How serious is it, Doctor?
A very nasty case of influenza.
Is there cause for concern?
Her temperature is still very high.
But she'll make it through.
I'm afraid there may be complications.
What kind of complications?
We'll just have to wait and see. It's been over 3 weeks now. She certainly can't go on like this for much longer.
There's a letter from Julius.
Oh, what does he say?
I simply cannot believe the election result. As you may imagine, here in Berlin, tempers are running rather high. They've won a majority. Oh. Hitler's got enough votes to do whatever he wants now. Obviously, the situation can't go on like this much longer.
What else does he say?
How the paper could lay you off like this. Their most eminent writer, and after 14 years. The confiscation of the house, too, is absolutely shocking. I'm dreadfully sorry about the piano. Oh. But I can at least try to sell off some of the books you left in storage and send the money.
Well, there's the doctor to pay and the hotel bill. What will we live off?
Hello, Mama. Hello, Papa. Oh. I feel so peculiar.
Oh, no. Oh, come, let me feel your forehead. Oh, the fever's going.
Nothing else matters.
Oh, at long last, my darling, we thought... Oh, at least we can make plans now. The sooner we move, the better. Max, come sit with your sister.
I'll sit in your bed and tell you all the news if you like.
Ow, Max, mind my feet. Oh,
we'd better go down and telephone at once. Yes.
Max, why hasn't Heinpe come?
Well, you see, when we were ill, Hitler won the elections. And now it's just as Papa said. Nobody's allowed to say a word against him or they're thrown in jail.
Did Heinpe say something?
No, but Papa did. Now we can't earn much money and we can't afford to pay Heinpe's wages.
But Heinpe wouldn't mind about being paid. If we had a little house, I think she'd want to come and look after us anyway.
Yes, but we can't get a house because the Nazis have taken our furniture and everything. All that going on just when we thought you were about to kick the bucket.
I wasn't about to kick the bucket.
I knew you wouldn't. But that doctor was saying
that... Did the Nazis take everything?
Everything. Oh. I knew you should have brought the games compendium. Hitler's probably playing Snakes and Ladders this very minute.
And snuggling my pink rabbit.
Still, Papa says we're lucky to be here at all. Uncle Julius said the Nazis came for all our passports the morning after the election.
Julius, what on earth are you doing here?
Well, officially, I'm not here at all. I'm at a congress of eminent zoologists in Milan, but I managed to slip away a day early.
Oh, it's so lovely to see you. Come, sit down, have some coffee.
Oh.
And one of Frau Zwern's excellent rolls.
Oh, thank you, my dear. Oh, well, old friend, do you realise that nowadays... It's considered very unwise even to visit you.
I'm honoured and grateful.
The Nazis are certainly very stupid. How could you possibly be an enemy of Germany? You know, of course, they burned all your books.
But what books? I thought the Nazis had just taken our things. I didn't know they'd burned them.
No, not the books your father owned, Anna, the ones he's written. The Nazis lit big bonfires all over the country and they threw on all the copies they could find.
Well, at least I was in the company of some very distinguished fellow authors. Einstein, Freud, H.G. Wells. Oh.
Thank heavens you left when you did. But, how are things here? Are you able to write?
I have no difficulty in writing, only in getting my work published.
Are you all right for money?
We manage.
It's very good to see you, Julius. We do miss Berlin and our friends. Hmm. We heard about Victor Grünblatt.
Oh, he wrote the most disgusting article praising the new setup. Oh. Such a contrast with Arnold Löwenstein. Oh, no, there's a courageous man. But then he and Sarah and their three little girls, they simply disappeared overnight. Moritz got away with his family to America. And Weissman's in Paris.
Oh. We're wondering about Paris ourselves. Mm. The children's grandparents are in Nice. My mother-in-law is coming to visit us here soon. Poor Arsene.
Oh. Will she ever forgive you for marrying her precious daughter?
I very much doubt it. Unfortunately, I think I may find myself called away to important meetings in Zurich when she comes this time.
Uncle Julius, did you mean Rachel Löwenstein's family? She was our form captain.
Was she, indeed? Now, you'll make a very good form captain yourself when you come back to Berlin.
Don't go back, Julius. Stay here with us. You won't be safe in Germany.
What? Me? Oh, who's going to bother about me? I'm only interested in animals. I'm not political. I'm not even Jewish, unless you count my poor old grandmother.
Julius, you don't understand.
Oh, darling Anna. Come and sit down by Oma and Mom. It's been such a long time. That dreadful man Hitler breaking up families like this.
I brought Pimpelina, Mama, because he's bothering the guests down by the lake.
Ah, you bad dog. My little Pimple's enjoying life in Nice, and we've managed to get most of the furniture into the new flat, so he should feel at home. But the French dogs aren't always very kind to him, and he misses Berlin dreadfully.
Oh, honestly, Mother.
What's this new craze of yours, knitting?
It's not a craze, Mama. Money's tight, but the children don't stop growing. Frau Zwirn knits all the time, and she's taught me. I'm knitting Anna a jersey.
When I think of the clothes you wore as a child, do you remember that dear little baby blue tweed with the velvet collar? And now, Anna in a homemade jersey.
Oh, Mama.
Really, my dear, this is no way for children to grow up.
Hey, you're back soon. I thought you wanted to finish the game you started yesterday with those other German children.
We did, but they don't want to play with us anymore.
Why not?
They just said they didn't want to.
Perhaps you could talk to their mother, Mama. She's at that corner table. Oh,
certainly.
Here, Max, have another roll. A growing boy like you needs to eat.
I'm fine, thanks, Mama.
Perhaps I could slip a roll into my handbag for poor Pumper. He usually eats his breakfast on my lap. I can't imagine why the proprietor has suddenly decided not to allow dogs into the breakfast room.
It was certainly not the end of the matter. I can tell you. How dare you?
The whole breakfast room can hear you.
Good thing, too. They're Nazis, and they've forbidden their children to play with Max and Anna because we are Jewish.
It's not a question of them not allowing their children to play with Max and Anna because we're Jewish. I wouldn't dream of allowing Max and Anna to play with the children of Nazis.
Oh, nearly bedtime, Anna. Why don't you read your book for a bit first?
All right.
So, anyway, they got the visas without a problem, and they sailed to America, first class, of course, but he simply couldn't find work. And in the end, she's had to go out cleaning just so they can eat.
When you think of their house in Berlin, still better cleaning than in one of those camps. Oh. Did you hear about Professor Zuckerman? So eminent.
Mm-hmm.
When they arrived at the camp, he was singled out for some reason, and they chained him to a dog kennel.
Oh.
It was right by the entrance to the camp, and every time anyone came in or out, he had to bark.
Oh.
They gave him scraps to eat in a dog dish, and he wasn't allowed to touch them with his hands. He had to sleep in the kennel at night. The chain was too short for him ever to stand up straight. Oh, after 2 months, he went mad. Oh. He continued barking as they ordered. But apparently, he had no idea what he was doing.
Well, look how well I'm getting on with your jersey, Anna. It will be so cosy now that the weather's getting colder.
Enjoying your book, dear?
Yes, thank you, Emma. But I think I'll go up to bed now.
I'd almost forgotten how fresh the air is on the lake. But Paris was wonderful. There's a newspaper for refugees called the Daily Parisien. And there are other editors who want me to write for them too.
Oh, in French?
Of course.
So when are we going?
Well, there's a lot to sort out. So Mama and I are going to go back.
What about us? We think you're old enough to look after yourselves for a few weeks. Frau Zwern will see that you're fed, and Papa and I will send you a postcard every other day, and we want you to do the same. You just have to remember to get to bed on time and wash behind your ears.
There are more serious things to remember, though. And when Mama and I are in Paris, you two will be the only representatives of our family in Switzerland. It's a big responsibility.
What will we have to do?
Well, there are Jews scattered all over the world, and the Nazis are telling terrible lies about them. So it's very important for people like us to prove them wrong.
How can we?
Well, the Nazis say that Jews are dishonest. So it's not enough for us to be as honest as anyone else. We have to be more honest. We have to be more hardworking than other people to prove that we're not lazy. More generous to prove that we're not mean. More polite to prove that we're not rude. Look, there's the landing stage already.
Dear Mama and Papa, our class went on a trip to the mountains. We slept overnight in wooden huts, and when the sun rose, the snow turned all pink and orange and red. And so did we.
Dear Anna and Max, here is a picture of the Eiffel Tower. Paris is a most beautiful city, as you will see when you arrive.
Dear Mama and Papa, on Sunday we went into the woods to collect sweet chestnuts. Frau Zwern roasted them, and we ate them for supper with melted butter.
Darling children, we have found a dear little flat and a French high school for Max, where they play football twice a week. Still looking for a school for Anna. Papa and I went to some new friends, the Fernands, for supper last night, and we had île flottante for pudding. Monsieur F is a writer too. I think you'll both like their daughter, Francine.
Dear Mama and Papa, a girl at school showed me today's newspaper, which had a photo of Papa in it, and it said the Nazis are putting a price on Papa's head, 1,000 marks. Frau Zwern said that showed how important Papa is. What does it mean, a price on Papa's head? Don't come in, Papa!
What is it?
Watch out!
Stop! Stop!
Papa!
Anna! Anna, wake up! What's the matter?
Oh, Max, I was having a nightmare. The roof beams were splintering and the coins kept falling down from the ceiling onto Papa and burying him.
You idiot. That's not what a price on someone's head means. It means the Nazis are offering a reward to anyone who captures him.
There you are, then.
But they can't get him, can they? Because Papa isn't in Germany. Any day now, he'll come and collect us. And we'll all be in Paris together. Go back to sleep now.
I wish he was here already.
Oh,
had to be very quick. We absolutely mustn't miss the connection. Porter! The Paris train! Hurry! Now, follow the porter, Max. Well done, Anna. Is this our train here? Right. Anna, you stand here with the bags while Max and I load the bigger cases. Just get it all on as quick as you can. We'll organise ourselves later. Careful, this one's heavy.
All right.
Papa, look at that sign. This is the wrong train. It's going to Stuttgart. It's a German train.
Oh, good God. Get the luggage off, quick. Go up the steps and just throw them off, Max. But mind out the way, Anna. And the blue one, Max, just behind you. Quick.
It's the last one. That's everything, Papa.
I clearly told the porter the Paris train.
Do you think he took us to the wrong train on purpose?
Well, it could just have been a mistake.
I think he was trying to claim 1,000 marks on your head.
Papa? I was a bit upset when I heard about the price on your head.
Oh, so was I. Such a small price. 1,000 marks goes nowhere these days. I've got a good mind to write to Hitler and complain.
We've crossed the border. We must be in France.
Yes, astonishing. Here I am, heading for Paris with my children. Refugees.
Our new address in Paris seemed quite grand. There was a concierge at the front door and a lift. But the apartment itself was so small that Mama had to sleep on a pull-out bed in the sitting room. And the walls were so thin that we could constantly hear the tap, tap, tapping of Papa's typewriter. Sometimes, late at night, I was woken by him moaning and shouting.
Max, Max, how can you sleep when Papa's making those noises?
It's just one of his nightmares. Mama told me he had them in Switzerland too, but we just didn't hear them. We're so close together here.
What sort of nightmares?
About the Nazis.
Do you remember our house in Berlin? The landing by the nursery? You could stand there and look out the window and see the pear tree with our swing in the garden.
It was about the size of this whole apartment.
But I like it here. I like Paris. I think I might quite like being a refugee.
I wonder what Christmas will be like. Our first Christmas away from home.
You can come in now.
Candles and everything. As good as the tree we had in Berlin.
Gosh.
Well, not quite as big. The concierge was a bit grumpy when she saw me bring it up in the lift.
Even proper gingerbread hearts. Can you have one now?
After dinner. Presents first. This little package only arrived yesterday, Anna. It's from Uncle Julius.
I'm going to open it first. What is it?
It's a charm bracelet. Look, a lion, a horse, a bird, a cat, an elephant.
And a tiny silver monkey.
Oh, very kind of Julius. Read the letter.
Dear Anna, I hope this little present will remind you of our many visits to the Berlin Zoo. It's not nearly such fun going without you, and the monkeys miss you. Please give my love to your dear Aunt Alice. I hope she is well. Tell her I think of her often, and of her good advice, which I should perhaps have taken. My love to you all, yours, Uncle Julius. What does it mean? We don't have an Aunt Alice.
I think he means me. He calls me Aunt Alice because the Nazis often open letters and he could get into trouble if they knew he was writing to me.
What advice did you give him?
I told him to leave Germany.
Well, how was it?
All right.
Isn't it a nice school?
How would I know? I can't understand a word. My clothes are all wrong, and I need a proper French briefcase.
But we don't have much money.
It's all right, Anna.
What's it got to do with you? All you do is sit at home all day doing nothing.
I don't. I draw and I lay the table.
I draw and I lay the table. You're nothing but a parasite.
Max.
It's not my fault. Mama just can't find a school for me to go to.
Well, until she does, you can shut up.
Max. It's so unfair. Why can't you find me a school?
Because we can't afford a private school, and I don't think it would be a good idea for you to go to an école communale.
Why not?
They're for children who are going to leave school early, and the education isn't very good. You wouldn't be able to learn Latin.
I don't need to learn Latin. I've got my head full trying to learn French.
Oh, just be patient, Anna. I'll find somewhere.
Max. Max. I can't sleep with Papa moaning.
Just put your pillow over your ears. Like this.
You see? I can't hear a word you're saying.
I wasn't saying anything.
No, but if you had been, just go to sleep. I promise you won't hear a thing.
Max?
Hmm?
Well, what's a parasite?
It's an insect that feeds off other creatures and doesn't give anything back. You're not a parasite. Sorry. It's just that school makes me really tired and cross.
You're right in a way. I wish I could do something. Maybe if I could start having nightmares, that would stop Papa having them. Take them away from him.
You're mad.
Enlion. Encheva. En chat. En oiseau.
Anna?
En éléphant. En singe.
Anna.
And a dog. A huge dog.
Anna, wake up. Wake up.
Papa, I was having a nightmare. I was out in the street and there was a great big dog. A dog a bit like Pumple.
Mm-hmm.
Except it had all these legs, and it was rushing towards us, and the concierge was telling me to count its legs.
Pumple and Madame la Concierge? Well, there's an unexpected honour. The concierge has certainly never visited me in my dreams.
Did you have a nightmare too, Papa?
No, I didn't. As a matter of fact, for the first night in ages, I slept rather soundly. Until you woke me up, that is. Now back to sleep now. Both of you.
Thank you, Anna. I've got a maths test tomorrow and your nightmare has probably wiped out everything I just managed to mug up about compound fractions.
But it worked, though, didn't it?
From that night on, neither Papa nor I suffered from nightmares again, and I really believed that I had taken them away from him. I had less time to dwell on these things now, because Mama had at last found me a school. I loved having girls my own age to play with again, but just like Max, I struggled to understand what was going on. It was a relief that first week when Mama told me that there was no school on Thursday afternoons and that she and I were going on a special visit.
Why haven't we ever met Aunt Sarah before?
Oh, she married a very rich Frenchman and moved from Berlin years ago. I haven't seen her myself since I was a child. I must have been about your age. Oh, you're growing so tall, Anna. I'll have to ask Madame Fernand to do something with your coat. If you grow any more, it won't even cover your pants.
What could Madame Fernand do?
I don't know. Stitch a bit of material round the hem or something. Ah, here's the door.
Bonjour, madame, mademoiselle.
Bonjour.
I'll tell madame you're here. Our other guests have just left.
It's very smart.
Come on.
No! So you're here at last. Come in. Such a long time I haven't seen.
Oh, Sarah.
My dear. Come. And such dreadful things happening in Germany.
Yes.
Still, you're safe and well, and that's all that matters. Sit down.
Thank you.
Now, what's your name?
Anna.
Anna, how nice. A good Jewish name.
No, Anna.
Oh, Anna. That's a nice name, too. You must excuse me, I'm a bit deaf. Goodness, child, such long legs you have. Aren't they cold?
Mama says if I grow any more, my coat won't even cover my pants.
Your mama's quite right. But what is she going to do about it, huh? Well, perhaps I have an idea. First things first, though. Bert, would you bring in the tea?
Yes, madame. I have it all ready on the trolley, as you ordered.
Oh, delicious, delicious. Thursdays is my day for seeing my old ladies. They're all very rich, and they give me money for my needy children. I offer them tea, and then they make a contribution before they leave. Just tea, and maybe a biscuit, because they're all watching their figures. But I love a proper tea with cakes. So, Hannah, do you prefer tea or hot chocolate with cream?
Hot chocolate, please.
This is so kind, Aunt Sarah. We haven't had a tea like this since we left Berlin.
Well, the child needs feeding. So skinny she is. I hear such terrible things about your husband struggling to find work. And him such a distinguished man, so witty. Have an eclair, Hannah.
Thank you. And
these strawberry tarts, they're my favourite. Once you've eaten, I'll show you something. One of my ladies is married to a textile manufacturer. He gives me all the ends of material he doesn't want. And just today, an entire roll of stuff she brought me. Good, green, worsted. Why shouldn't the child have some of it?
No, we can't.
After all, it is for needy children, and she is as needy as most.
Oh, it's kind, but I don't think we could.
Oh, always so proud. You want the police should arrest the child for going about with her pants showing?
Isn't it lovely, Papa? I'm going to have a new dress and a coat. It's meant for needy children, and Aunt Sarah said that I was needy. We had a lovely tea and...
It's so unfair.
You said you didn't want to come, Max. You said it would be boring.
Who cares about boring if there were chocolate eclairs?
That's enough, Max. What is all this?
Oh, it's just as Anna told you. Great-Aunt Sarah had a whole lot of cloth which had been given to her, and she wanted Anna to have some.
But it had been given to her for needy children.
She's interested in various charities. She's a very kind woman.
Charities? We can't accept charity for our children.
Why must you always be so difficult? The woman is my aunt, and she wanted Anna to have some clothes. That's all there is to it.
Honestly, Papa, I don't think she meant it in any way you wouldn't like.
It's a present for Anna from a relative.
No, it's a present from a relative who runs a charity. A charity for needy children.
All right, then. We'll give it back if that's what you want. But you tell me what the child is to wear. Do you know the price of clothes in shops?
Papa.
Well, you do look a bit needy.
It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does. It does matter. Is this the cloth? Well, you better get it made up into something warm.
Oh, my dear.
Why don't you discuss this? Why don't you talk?
I didn't know we were needy, Max. They used to pay Papa a lot in Germany.
Paris is full of refugees. Papa says there are even plenty of French writers out of work.
Yesterday I broke a hair clip and Mama got really cross.
I know. You saw what she was like when I told her I'd lost my pen.
It only cost 30 centimes, but she tried to mend it with glue.
But she's learned to cook brilliantly. She couldn't make an omelette when we lived in Berlin.
Oh, what a charming shade of green. I'll get on with the sewing. You play me something on the piano.
But I brought along some sewing things.
Oh, my dear, I wouldn't trust you to hem a handkerchief.
Oh!
Anyway, I'll use the sewing machine. But Francine, why don't you take Max and Anna to play in your bedroom?
Yes, Mama.
Show them the presents you got for your birthday. Do you know, I can't believe how the children's French is coming on. Max is so confident, and Anna's accent is perfect.
Mama and Papa gave me this games compendium, but I don't play with it much.
We used to have one just like it. Only ours had dominoes as well.
I used to beat Anna at everything.
No, you didn't. Just chess. The problem is, I can't play most of the games on my own.
I could teach you patience if you like.
Thank you. What happened to your compendium?
We had to leave it behind in Berlin.
We reckon Hitler's playing snakes and ladders with it right now.
The postman came after you left for school this morning, Anna. The post must have been held up at the frontier because there are three cards for you, all from Uncle Julius.
Dear Anna, I have recently been getting acquainted with the inhabitants of the reptile house. The lizards bask on their warm rocks, though the weather has been most inclement in Berlin. With love to your dear Aunt Alice. I don't really remember the reptile house. I remember the monkeys. Dear Anna, the monkeys miss your visits very much, and they ask after you frequently. I still take them peanuts, but I no longer enjoy the snacks we used to share in the cafe by the lake. Remember me always to your Aunt Alice. This last one is very short. The more I know of men, the more I love animals.
But is that it? Nothing else?
No, look.
Oh, poor Julius.
It's impossible. I just can't do it.
You loved it when you started.
Yes, but everything's much harder this term. All the homework, geography and grammar and arithmetic.
You said you were finding the arithmetic quite easy.
It was fine when it was just sums, but now we're doing problems and I have to translate everything into German before I can even think about it. I'm so tired the whole time. I can't do it.
Oh, perhaps we'd better go in here.
Isn't it too expensive?
I think it's what we need right now. I'll have a cup of tea and you have a cake.
Really? Could I have one of those sweet chestnut pastries?
Let's sit down here. Now look. I know it's difficult, but what are we to do? You have to learn French.
I'm getting worse, not better.
Everyone says your accent is perfect.
I'm just not improving.
But you will. When I was studying music in Berlin, I sometimes struggled with something for weeks. And then suddenly, just when I felt it was quite hopeless, the whole thing became clear. And I couldn't think why I hadn't seen it before. Perhaps it'll be like that with your French.
Perhaps.
I'll tell you what we'll do, Anna. It's only 2 months till Christmas. You keep on trying, and if by then you still feel you really can't manage, we'll do something about it. I don't know what, but I'll think of something.
2 months won't make any difference.
We'll see. Now, let's order your cake. Oh, it's nice to go out for tea with my daughter.
Max, an amazing thing happened in the playground this morning. Colette asked me what we'd done at the weekend and I just told her.
What? About going for a picnic with the Fernands?
Yes, but in French. I told her what we did in French. I didn't even think about it. The words just came out. And then in class, I answered 3 questions. I actually put up my hand.
That's been happening with me too. Yesterday, I joined in an argument in the playground about the offside rule. And I know I was right.
Do you think it'll last?
I hope so. It makes school much better. Perhaps it happens to all refugees. Mama's pretty good now. And perhaps when Omama comes, even she'll have learnt a few words.
How about, this is no way for children to grow up?
Really? This is no way for children to grow up. The apartment is so pokey. Can't you find anything bigger?
We can barely afford this.
But surely your husband...
Oh, it's the Depression, Mother. You must have read about it. With so many French writers out of work, no paper is going to employ a German. And the Daily Parisian can't afford to pay much.
Anna and Max have grown so tall, there's hardly room for them to move. Oh,
as a matter of fact, the children are both doing extremely well. Max is working for the first time in his life and Anna's about to sit the certificat d'études.
Isn't that some kind of elementary school exam?
Anna's teacher thinks it's a remarkable achievement, considering she's been living in France for less than 2 years, even if she doesn't pass.
Well, just remember, if you're ever in difficulties, you can always send the children to me.
Thank you. I hope it won't be necessary, but thank you.
Go through it one more time before supper.
Napoleon Bonaparte was born on Corsica in 1769. He was Emperor of the French from 1804 to 1815 and King of Italy from 1805 to 1815. He married Josephine and Marie Louise of Austria, and he died...
Yes.
Papa! Won't be long.
No, don't stop.
And he died in St. Helena, aged 51, on the 5th of May, 1821.
Perfect.
Well, what an extraordinary way to learn about Napoleon. Is that all you know about him?
But it's everything.
No, it's not everything. Here, move up. Now, let me sit on the bed. Now, it's true that Napoleon was born in Corsica, but did you know that he was the second of 8 children? He was brilliant at school and became an officer at 15 and a commander of the entire French army when he was just 26. He made his brothers and sisters kings and queens of all the countries he conquered, but he could never impress his mother. She was an Italian peasant woman, and this is the part I've always loved. When she heard news of every triumph, she would always say the same thing. It's good. As long as it lasts. Then, of course, you know, her forebodings came true. Half the French army was destroyed in a disastrous campaign against Russia, and Napoleon finally died a lonely death on the tiny island of St. Helena. Meanwhile, his mother outlived him, the blind old lady, long after his final defeat. It's good, as long as it lasts.
What a great story. That's so much more interesting, Papa. It sounds just like a film.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? Anyway, Mama says supper's ready.
While Max and I revised for our exams, Papa turned his attention to his new project, writing a film script. He showed it to 2 French film companies, who both turned it down with depressing speed. Then he sent it to someone in England. He wasn't very optimistic. I wondered whether any English director would want to make a film about Napoleon, who, up until now, had been England's greatest enemy. But at least it was the end of term, and we had something to celebrate.
Mama! Papa! Max! I got it! I passed!
Well done, my darling. And Max has news too.
I won the Prix d'Excellence. That's the prize for the best student in the class.
I won a prize too. The mayor of Paris awarded prizes for the 20 best compositions, and one was mine. Look, 20 francs.
Your first professional fee as a writer, and you won it in a language not your own. Remarkable. What did you write about? You never told us.
The title was A Journey, and I did your journey, Papa, when you left Berlin. I imagined what it was like, travelling with a high temperature and not knowing if you'd be stopped at the frontier.
What clever children we have.
All we need now is for someone to buy your film script about Napoleon's mother.
Well, it's a shot in the dark.
Well, something's got to turn up.
20 francs is a lot, isn't it? I'm going to buy us croissants for breakfast tomorrow and then every Saturday morning all through the summer holidays.
Oh, something's wrong with this wretched bed. I can't get it to fold up. Can you give me a hand?
Oh, you know, I'm hopeless.
Why does something always have to go wrong?
Just calm down, dear.
Madame the concierge is here, Mother. I met her on the stairs.
Here's your post. And I've come for the rent.
Nothing but circulars, as usual. Oh, but since you're here...
Yes, could you have a look at this bed?
Oh, I expect the children have been messing about with it. I've come for the rent.
The children haven't been near it, and the rent's not due until tomorrow.
Today? It's the 1st of September today.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. It seems I'm a day out. I'm afraid I shall have to give it to you tomorrow.
Would you please fix this wretched contraption so that I can have something to sleep on tonight?
It's hardly worth my while, is it? I mean, people who can't pay the rent on time.
How dare you? Well, not have you speak to my wife in that tone.
Giving yourself airs with nothing to show for it.
If you can't fix the bed, then get out.
Oh, Hitler knew what he was doing when he got rid of people like you. Should never have let your sort into France in the first
Just
place.
Just get out!
Look, it's Thursday. Anna takes some money from my purse and you and Max go to the children's matinee. Papa and I need to have a talk. We can't go on like this. We just can't.
Did you decide anything?
Oh, you can see what it's like, Max. It's impossible for Papa to earn a living here. So, we're thinking about going to England.
What? Leave Paris?
How soon?
Well, only Papa and I would go to start with. You and Anna would go to stay with Omama until we get things sorted out.
But supposing it takes a long time to get things sorted out?
Well, we'll have to make sure it doesn't.
Is it all decided? Do you even want to know what we think?
Tell us what you think.
It's just that I think we should all be together as a family.
Mm.
It would only have to be for a little while with Omama. And you know, in England, lots of children have to go to boarding school.
I know, but it's different if you haven't got a home. If you haven't got a home, you have to be with your people. I've never minded being a refugee. Actually, I've loved it. I think the last 2 years have been much better than if we'd stayed in Germany. But if you send us away now, I'm so frightened.
Frightened? Of what?
Frightened that I might really feel like one. Papa,
mm-hmm.
There's someone to see you from Berlin.
Someone here? No. How do you do, Herr?
Rosenfeld, I used to be an actor, but you wouldn't remember me, only small parts. I have a nephew in the confectionery business here in Paris.
Well, won't you sit down?
Thank you. I've brought you this.
Julius, his watch.
And I'm afraid I'm the bearer of bad news. Herr Julius is dead.
Uncle Julius?
When?
He was dismissed from the Natural History Museum almost a year ago. The only work he could get was sweeping up in a factory. And he moved into a room next to mine. I was already preparing to leave, and I said, you come too. There'll be room for us both in the confectionery trade, but he wouldn't. He seemed to think the situation in Germany would change. But you know he had a Jewish grandmother.
Of course.
I used to go to the zoo with him every Sunday. He always took scraps for the animals, and they'd rush up to the bars. It wasn't just the food. It was like a kind of gentleness in him that they recognized.
Precisely.
He started dropping in at the zoo after work. His whole life was centered round the animals. And then one day they revoked his pass. After that, Herr Julius couldn't sleep. He didn't eat properly. He stopped talking with me. He just sat in his room, staring at the sparrows on the rooftops opposite.
And then?
He knocked on my door late one night and begged me to bring this package to you. I only accepted to calm him. The next morning, we found him dead, with a bottle of sleeping pills beside him. Oh, there's a letter, too.
Goodbye. I wish you well, Julius.
For the rest of the morning, Papa sat in his chair, fingering Uncle Julius's watch and saying nothing. It was only later that I remembered about a second letter.
Papa, I forgot about this. I collected it when I came up with Herr Rosenfeld this morning. It's another letter for you, with an English stamp.
What does it say? Is it good news?
Here.
Your film script. They want to buy it. And they're offering £1,000. Oh, this is wonderful news.
Does that mean we won't have to go and stay with Omama?
Oh, of course. We can all go to England.
It's wonderful, isn't it, Papa?
Yes, it is wonderful news.
We collected up our things and left within a fortnight. There was less and less to pack. So many of our things we'd outgrown, used up, or left behind. No games compendium. no pink rabbit. But at least we were all together.
Just when we'd learned to speak French properly.
Oh, we'll go back to France often.
But it won't be the same. We won't belong. Do you think we'll ever belong anywhere?
I suppose not. Not the way people belong who have lived in one place all their lives. We'll belong a little in lots of places. And that may be just as good.
Where are we?
B-O-V-R-I-L.
It can't be. The last place was called Bovril.
It's an advertisement. Bovril is some kind of English food. I think they eat it with stewed fruit.
Not long now. And we'll be in London.
I pressed my face to the window and remembered the journey from Berlin with Mama and Max and how I had wished for a difficult childhood. It had been raining then, too. I thought of our months by the lake in Switzerland and the 2 years in Paris. We were still together, and now we were starting all over again.
In When Hitler Stole Pink Rabbit by Judith Carr, dramatised by B.T. Rubens, young Anna was played by Lauren Moat, older Anna by Anna Madeley, Max by Hugo Docking, Mama by Adjoa Ando, Omama by Eleanor Bron, and Papa by Paul Moriarty. Elsbeth was played by Xenia Minnelli, Julius by James Lely, Aunt Sarah by Sheila Stiefel, Fräulein Lambeck by Tracy Wiles, Herr Rosenfeld by Gerard McDermott, The Concierge by Alex Rivers, and The Passport Officer by Christopher Webster. The director was David Hunter.
You can hear how Anna and her family fare in London in the second book in the Out of the Hitler Time trilogy, Bombs on Aunt Dainty by Judith Carr, at 3 o'clock next Sunday. After the news, we'll join Mariella Frostrup for Open Book.
Come through, come through. This is a house. Now, I'm not mad, but I swear to you, when we first walked through this door as the new owners, I swear to you, I heard this house say hello to me.
Starring Johnny Vegas.
I saw the scars inflicted on this place by the previous owners. I promised to myself to make it beautiful once more, to restore its self-esteem and give it back its dignity.
Geoffrey Parkin invites you to buy his home.
It's just an house. It's the people that live in the house that matter.
Interiors, the afternoon drama, this Thursday at 2:15 on BBC Radio 4.